Hello and welcome back. Today we start The New Human Revolution Volume 2. We will be starting from Chapter 1, Page 7, and we'll be reading to Page 27. So let's begin. Any historic undertaking is inevitably wrought with hardship. The road is steep and the journey long. The same may be said of the glorious and unprecedented epic drama of Kosenrufu. The widespread propagation of the true law is a journey to conquer the vast, uncharted ocean of happiness for all humanity. During this voyage, one is bound to encounter storms, to be jostled by fierce, billowing waves. The principle of achieving a momentous human revolution lies in launching yourself headfirst into this turbulence and struggling with all your might. On the morning of October 26, 1960, Shinichi Yamamoto offered profound prayer to the Gohonzon at the Soka Gakkai headquarters. After successfully completing his first overseas trip, he had arrived at Tokyo's Haneda International Airport sometime after 11 the previous evening. He and his party had then gone to a waiting room to meet briefly with those who had come to welcome them. It was already after midnight when they finished. Shinichi finally arrived home shortly before 1 a.m. Though utterly exhausted, by 9 the following morning, however, he was at the Soka Gakkai headquarters. He sat in front of the Gohonzon, filled with deep gratitude at having successfully completed this journey for Kosenrufu. For the first time in more than 20 days, his sonorous daimoku could be heard resounding through the headquarters building. Fresh determination beat powerfully in his heart to put the finishing touches on that year's activities in the remaining months. At the general meeting earlier that year on May 3rd, when he was inaugurated as Soka Gakkai president, Shinichi had launched a new beginning for the organization, pledging to accomplish a membership of 3 million households. He had set the 7th anniversary of the death of his mentor, Josei Toda, as a target date, only 4 years away. As of May 3rd, however, the Gakkai membership was still only 1.4 million households. To achieve the goal pledged by Shinichi, they would have to more than double the present numbers within just 4 years. To some, this may have seemed an impossibly daunting task. But to Shinichi, this goal represented the last will and testament of his beloved mentor, Toda. On February 10, 1958, 2 months before Josei Toda's death, Shinichi had dropped by to visit his mentor at home. He was on his way back from Osaka, where he had been for a guidance tour. Toda said to him, "We have to hurry. Shinichi, do you think you can accomplish a membership of 3 million households in the next 7 years?" Toda had settled on this target only after careful deliberation based on his detailed vision for Kosenrufu and the plans he hoped to achieve for the organization within 7 years. Shinichi had replied without hesitation, "Yes, I will do it. I feel even more determined. I am your disciple. I will definitely realize this goal. Please don't worry." He would never forget the pleasure that had lit Toda's face when he said this. For Shinichi, as the third president of Soka Gakkai, achieving the goal of 3 million households constituted a struggle for the sake of the Buddhist law, one in which he had to succeed at all costs as the disciple who had inherited Toda's legacy. It was also his first major campaign as the newly appointed president. When he had finished chanting, Shinichi stood up resolutely. He then joined General Director Koichi Harayama and other top Soka Gakkai leaders in one of the meeting rooms at the headquarters for a conference. At the general meeting on May 3rd, Harayama was appointed the new Soka Gakkai General Director, while his predecessor, Takeo Konishi, became Headquarters Executive Counselor. Kiyoshi Jujo, meanwhile, was appointed Vice General Director. "Mr. Harayama, How are things going with the proposed agenda for the headquarters leaders' meeting on the 31st? Shinichi asked. I thought I'd look into it after I'd consulted with you. Well, how about the inaugural meeting of Chiba chapter on the November 1st? Has it been decided yet which leaders will be dispatched to attend it and the other chapter meetings scheduled soon in Kanto, Koshinetsu, and other regions? No, not yet. I see. Who at headquarters is overseeing the formation of districts in each of the new chapters? The general chapter chiefs are looking after that, so there isn't anyone in particular. With these words, Harayama fell silent. Shinichi said with a stern look, "These inaugural chapter meetings are crucial. They hold the key to our future development. We agreed to make thorough preparations for the remaining activities this year, and that you, the general director, would assume a central role in such efforts. To not give any thought to these matters or do nothing because you haven't received directions is an irresponsible attitude, don't you think?" Kosen Rufu is advancing rapidly. Our members on the forefront of this struggle are all trying earnestly with fresh resolve. If, on the other hand, the Soka Gakkai headquarters, the heart of our movement, becomes inert and apathetic, the organization will rot at the core. That's a frightening prospect. Said Harayama, gazing at Shinichi. All he understood was that he had been a little tardy in taking certain necessary measures. What Shinichi feared most was that the top leaders, the central figures in the organization, would fall behind in their awareness. Several of the senior Soka Gakkai leaders had been leaders since President Tsunesaburo Makiguchi's days. Not only had they accumulated rich experience and faith through long years of practice, they also took great pride in having helped build the foundation of the Soka Gakkai together with Josei Toda. But their eyes were on the past. Shinichi, however, had his sights set on a new tide of Kosenrufu that went far beyond their previous experience. The movement was now entering a new phase, but these leaders failed to recognize it. They persisted in their complacency, continuing to deal with everything from the confines of their own experience, just as they always had, sluggishly rousing themselves to action only when directed to do so. Inertia is subtle. It creeps up unnoticed. Those who forget about daily renewal and improvement, snugly content with the status quo, are already in the grip of inertia. Shinichi Yamamoto gazed around at the senior leaders assembled in the meeting room and said sternly, "I am now preparing to begin the real battle for Kosenrufu here in Japan. Despite that, the atmosphere at the headquarters, the main bastion of that struggle, is extremely lax. More frightening is the fact that you're not even aware of it. There is a vast difference in the degree of alertness and attention people must have if they are going for a casual walk down the street or if they are driving at high speed. If you drive a car at high speed with the same awareness as when taking a leisurely stroll, glancing nonchalantly from side to side at the scenery, you'll end up having a major accident. Today's Soka Gakkai, which is striving to achieve the membership goal of 3 million households, is like a car traveling at more than 100 kilometers per hour. We can't afford to take our eyes off the road for an instant or make any errors while driving. Unless the headquarters is filled with such a sense of alertness, we cannot expect to protect all the members or achieve this unprecedented growth. This is why I'm speaking to you so strictly." It had been just over 20 days since Shinichi had met with Koichi Harajuma and the other leaders, who had been taking care of things during his absence. During that time, he had striven with every last ounce of his being to open new realms of Kosenrufu overseas. Now, a vast, invisible gap lay between them in terms of sense of mission. They were out of step with one another. Wanting to break through the shell of inertia that enveloped the leaders who had stayed behind, Shinichi continued. The inaugural meetings establishing new chapters are the most vital focus of our activities right now. If these new chapters get started on the right track, we can achieve our goal of 3 million households. So, from today on, I will fight with the spirit to take full leadership of the activities in Japan. Also, I intend to travel around the country and work just as hard. No, even harder than I did overseas. I would like all of you to advance with that same spirit. To fulfill the promise he had made to his mentor, Shinichi first set about consolidating the organization's fighting strength by establishing new chapters throughout Japan. At the May 3rd general meeting, at which he had been inaugurated as president, he had added 23 new chapters to the existing 61 chapters, boosting the number of chapters nationwide to 84, and setting in motion the Gakkai's surging wave of advancement. To establish a solid base for Kosen Rufu, it was imperative to quickly establish more chapters all over the country. Local organizations would accelerate the progress of faith, practice and study, and function to nurture people's development, like soil nourishing the growth of majestic trees. Shinichi wanted to establish organizations in each prefecture and region, roots that would enable the flowers of faith and human happiness to bloom. Thus, he put his utmost effort into forming new chapters. In those days, the Soka Gakkai was organized along the vertical lines. As a rule, each member had to belong to the same local organization as the person who introduced him or her to the practice, regardless of where he or she lived. For instance, no matter where you lived in Japan, if the person who introduced you belonged to Tokyo's Kamata chapter, then you became a member of that chapter. Similarly, if the person who introduced you belonged to Bunkyo chapter in a different section of Tokyo, then you became a member of that chapter. When propagation expanded and the number of new members grew in each local region, units, groups and districts were formed. It was not uncommon for long-standing chapters in Tokyo, Kansai and other areas to have districts and groups located in each prefecture throughout Japan. This gave rise to a situation where members living in the same prefecture belonged to separate chapters. This meant that, in order to attend the leaders' meetings of their respective chapters, members from each region had to travel the long distance to Tokyo, Kansai, or other centers. The chapter, for its part, may have had members living in different prefectures, but because these members were too few to warrant forming local groups or districts, it often could not extend sufficient support to them in terms of guidance. To rectify this, the area-wise block organizational system was established in 1955. Several days of each month were set aside for block-oriented activities in an attempt to improve horizontal communication among members living in the same locality. But these activities were optional. Once the new chapters were established, however, the members living there would transfer their affiliation to their new local chapter, making things much more convenient and efficient for everyone concerned. Shinichi made this issue a top priority. He wanted to create an organizational structure that would allow all members, wherever they lived in Japan, to have access to thorough and detailed guidance and to participate in the noble task of Kosen Rufu. The membership goal of 3 million households could be achieved only when the strength of all members was combined. In addition to the 23 new chapters announced at the headquarters general meeting on May 3rd, Shinichi had flown to Okinawa and there formed the Okinawa chapter. Furthermore, at the September leaders' meeting, the formation of 16 new chapters had been announced: Chiba, Mito, Maebashi, Numazu, Kofu, Matsumoto, Nagano, Toyama, Kanazawa, Muroran, Obihiro, Yamagata, Minami Akita, Morioka, Tokushima, and Oita. He exerted full effort to establish new chapters. The inaugural meetings for the new chapters were scheduled to start in November. After his inauguration as the Soka Gakkai president, Shinichi Yamamoto immediately embarked on a hectic nationwide tour, giving guidance and encouragement to the members. He wanted to meet as many of them as possible and make a fresh start with them. He also wanted to celebrate the start of newly formed chapters around the country and ensure that the flow of activities in each was quickly established. Osaka was the first place Shinichi visited after becoming president. On May 8, 5 days after his inauguration, he attended the Kansai General Chapter Leaders Meeting held at the Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium. On January 4, 1956, Shinichi arrived in Osaka to assume leadership for the activities in the Kansai region. At that time, the members were still young in their practice and had little experience with Soka Gakkai activities. With Shinichi at the helm, however, the members fought with devotion. That May, as a single chapter, they converted 11,111 households, a monumental achievement that would shine with golden light in the annals of Kosen Rufu movement. Then, in the House of Councillors election held a few months later in July 1956, a candidate sponsored by the Soka Gakkai in Osaka, where everyone said their chances of winning were virtually nil, achieved a surprise victory. It was so unexpected that newspapers the next day were filled with headlines such as "The impossible has been achieved." Shinichi was assigned to Kansai with responsibility for the by-election campaign for the House of Councillors held in Osaka in April the following year. However, a vote-buying scandal caused by the thoughtless behavior of some members from Tokyo brought turmoil to the final hours of the election campaign. This resulted in the narrow defeat of the Soka Gakkai candidate. Because he had overall responsibility for the campaign, Shinichi was falsely charged as having ordered the vote buying and door-to-door solicitation of both votes, both in violation of the election law, and unjustly arrested. At work here was the insidious design of the authorities that wanted to impede the Soka Gakkai's advance. The court battle to prove Shinichi's innocence was still in progress when he became Soka Gakkai president. No one had been more grieved and angered by this sequence of events than the Kansai members. They had stood up, ready to take on the unscrupulous authorities. His fight to prove his innocence continued even after his inauguration as president in 1960. Shinichi lost no time in traveling to Osaka to encourage these heroes of the common people before anyone else and to begin his new journey together with them. There was an explosion of joy as the members welcomed their new president. When Shinichi entered, thunderous applause and tumultuous cheering that went on and on greeted him. Some stood up to wave at him, some tossed their hats in the air. It was as if they could not restrain themselves from expressing, with every inch of their being, their joy and determination on this new departure. Shinichi loved these unpretentious yet noble people with all his heart. As far as the Kansai members were concerned, Shinichi was their beloved sensei. Nothing stood between them and their youthful president. Transcending circumstances and position, they were linked by deep human bonds as comrades striving together to live out their missions for Kosen Rufu. This was the strength of the Kansai members. It also became the strength of the Soka Gakkai. Listening to the experiences and determinations on stage, Shinichi was amazed at how much the Kansai members had grown in these few short years. In particular, the leaders who had exerted themselves alongside him had expanded their capacity broadly, developing into admirable leaders with conviction and confidence. The Kansai members, however, knew only that they had just been following Shinichi's lead with single-minded passion. The Daishonin writes, "A blue fly, if it clings to the tail of a thoroughbred horse, can travel 10,000 miles, and the green ivy that twines around the tall pine can grow to 1,000 feet." The Kansai members had unstintingly exerted themselves together with the heroic young leader who had taken full responsibility for the realization of Kosen Rufu. As a result, unawares, they had each developed into mighty leaders themselves. The key to dramatically transforming our state of life lies in placing ourselves in the mainstream of activities for Kosen Rufu and advancing. At the May 3rd General Meeting, the formation of 10 new chapters in the Kansai area was announced. Kishiwada, Wakayama, Amagasaki, Fuse, Naniwa, Nishinari, Hanshin, Yodogawa, Miyakojima, and Nishinomiya. This brought the number of chapters in the Kansai General Chapter to 18. At the Kansai General Chapter's leaders' meeting, flags were formally conferred on each new chapter, as well as on their respective young men's and young women's divisions, to mark a fresh departure for the Kansai region. These flags were symbols of the advancement of Kosen Rufu. In reference to his efforts to propagate the mystic law, the Daishonin proclaimed, "I have raised the banner of the five characters of Myoho Rengekyo." Josai Toda too, in his Song of Comrades, cried out, "Where are you, flag-bearing youth?" Using the flag as a symbol to depict youth standing up in their mission for Kosen Rufu. As he personally handed a flag to each new chapter chief, Shinichi infused his whole heart into that single moment, offering words of encouragement that conveyed his profound respect and high expectation. The chapter flag is an emblem of peace. I look forward to your vigorous efforts. Let's fight together, the two of us, holding this banner high even in stormy weather. Please conduct a magnificent paean of the people with all your might. Each word was a source of hope and fresh inspiration for the new leaders and was engraved deeply in their lives. Finally, it was time for President Yamamoto to address the audience. Fondly recalling the days he had spent in Kansai with his mentor, Josai Toda, he began to speak. Once, when giving guidance here in Osaka, President Toda said, "Why do I come to Kansai? To eliminate poverty and sickness from Kansai, from Osaka." With these few words, he taught us that the most fundamental mission of Kosen Rufu is to reach out to those whose karma is to suffer painfully and lead them to happiness. And when we look at the Kansai leaders, it is clear that they have all become genuinely happy. From President Oda's time, the Soka Gakkai was repeatedly derided as an organization for the sick and poor. But Toda had actually welcomed such criticism. He would laugh loudly and say to the members, "Now, if the Soka Gakkai were the cause of people's poverty and illness, we could understand being abused. But the fact is that people who were poor and sick joined the Soka Gakkai, like many of you here, no doubt, and those same people have now splendidly transformed their lives, improving their finances and recovering their health. There is nothing more wonderful than this. If anyone denigrates the Soka Gakkai as a gathering of the poor and sick, please ask them, how many people have you rescued from poverty and sickness?" Such suffering was common among the Japanese in those early post-war years. Toda, in his speech in Kansai, had proclaimed an all-out war against such misery. Buddhism does not avert its gaze from reality or teach us to seek consolation or some abstract happiness. Rather, the true attitude in Buddhism is to challenge the unhappiness that confronts us and show actual proof of victory in society. Shinichi quoted these words of his mentor Josai Toda because he wanted the members to understand that the desire to lead others to happiness was the primary motivation for striving towards the membership goal of 3 million households. It is the nature of human beings to seek to understand things. When the purpose of a task is unclear, people cannot give their all. This applies also to activities for Kosen Rufu. When the members can understand why a campaign is being conducted and why at a particular time they will take action to succeed in that campaign on their own initiative. Their creativity and resourcefulness will also be inspired. This is a manifestation of practical hands-on wisdom, and wisdom is the force that mobilizes knowledge. Every movement must constantly reconfirm its goals and objectives, returning always to its prime point, to the reason for its existence. Otherwise, there is a danger of methodology becoming all-important, obliterating the movement's original objective. When this happens, even a movement that may once have achieved spectacular growth will find its wheels spinning uselessly, and in the end it will grind to a halt. If a movement persists in stressing quantitative targets and the means to accomplishing them, even though its members do not support and accept its aims and objectives, a sense of coercion will come to prevail. This saps the people's initiative and enthusiasm. They grow negative about taking action. They lose all their joy and vitality. When that happens, even the loftiest of movements eventually reaches an impasse. When the aims and objectives are understood and agreed upon, however, the next step is to set clear goals. Whether for an organization or for an individual, it is crucial that goals be as concrete as possible. Having a goal makes things more exciting, more worthwhile. Also, we experience a profound sense of joy when the goal is finally achieved. Once a goal has been decided upon, it is then important to give thorough consideration to how best to accomplish it. Shinichi Yamamoto began his speech by reaffirming the basic objectives of realizing a membership of 3 million households. He then stressed that making the discussion meeting more satisfying would be the key to success in this endeavor. If all the leaders actively participate in and hold happy and enjoyable discussion meetings, overflowing with the conviction of faith, then the scope of propagation will definitely expand. The discussion meeting is a miniature portrait of the Soka Gakkai. It might be described as an oasis in today's world where people from all walks of life, young and old, men and women alike, encourage one another and discuss the means for attaining happiness. It was at discussion meetings, too, that Presidents Makiguchi and Toda shared the sufferings of those in the poorest and more abject circumstances and launched the struggle for the widespread propagation of the Daishonin's Buddhism. This grassroots movement has been the most essential underpinning of the Soka Gakkai through today. I hope you will devote your utmost energies to making the discussion meetings more fulfilling and satisfying, and that you, the Kansai members, will take the lead in producing a powerful new current of Kosen Rufu. Just as the light of dawn glimmers beyond the darkness to herald the new start of a new day, the Kosen Rufu movement also needs a beacon to light the way. Shinichi placed great expectation on the efforts of the Kansai members, hoping they would serve as the vanguard of the Soka Gakkai's struggle. And, of all the divisions, he particularly strove to entrust this mission to the youth division. It might be said that until now, Shinichi had been blazing the path in that struggle all alone. Whenever the progress of Kosen Rufu had begun to grow stagnant in a region, Toda always dispatched Shinichi to break the impasse. When progress towards his cherished goal of 750,000 member households was painfully slow and the path ahead was shrouded in heavy clouds, Josai Toda entrusted Shinichi with the leadership of Kamata chapter in Tokyo, appointing him as a vice chapter leader. This was in January 1952. It was winter and Shinichi had just turned 24. Shinichi gave everything he had to this struggle. And in February, Kamada chapter scored a monthly record of 201 new member households. This was at a time when even large chapters found it difficult to accomplish membership of more than 100 new households in 1 month. Kamada's achievement sparked a flame of propagation that engulfed each chapter all over Japan, opening the way for the achievement of 750,000 households. Wherever he went, Shinichi ran in the vanguard, blazing the trail. This was evident in his struggle in Tokyo's Bunkyo chapter, in Osaka, in Yamaguchi Prefecture, and indeed in any situation and circumstance that arose. Looking back on those days, Shinichi recalled that just putting his work in order so that he could travel around to various parts of the country at Toda's behest had been no easy undertaking. Sometimes he had been so short of funds for travel expenses that he had to even sell the license on his private telephone to pay the train fare. Despite these dedicated efforts, Toda almost never praised Shinichi. If anything, he constantly subjected him to stern rebukes and acted as though it were a matter of course that Shinichi go out and accomplish unprecedented results. In Toda's behavior, however, Shinichi sensed the strict love and wholehearted trust of a mentor, striving to raise his young disciple into a person of genuine, lion-like courage. He knew that profound compassion glinted in the eyes of his mentor's stern gaze. Shinichi strode in the vanguard with powerful and unswerving determination. He was also creating a noble, proud, and joyous path for young people. A breakthrough achieved by a courageous forerunner opens the way for a great flow of advancement. By continuing to forge ahead in the forefront, acting as Toda's right hand, Shinichi would become a genuine successor. There is a difference between being a follower and a successor. Followers position themselves in the rear, safely away from the real struggle, and remain ignorant of the hardships involved in pioneering a movement. Those who merely follow someone else's lead cannot possibly fulfill the responsibility required of successors. A true successor must stand in the vanguard and raise the flag of victory. Cherishing a broad, multidimensional vision for Kosenrufu, Shinichi felt an acute need to raise members in each region and each field of endeavor who could undertake the mission of pioneering this movement. For that reason, he continued to wholeheartedly encourage the members. On May 9th, the day after the Kansai General Chapter leaders' meeting, Shinichi attended the Young Women's Division Leader meeting for May at the Taito Gymnasium in Tokyo. He had continued himself to a relentless struggle, traveling with lightning speed from one place to another without a moment's respite. At the YWD leaders' meeting too, Shinichi spoke about Josai Toda. He felt it was his mission to correctly convey to the members the spirits of his mentor who had embodied in his life the teachings of Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism. After Mr. Toda was inaugurated as president, Shinichi began. Various newspaper and magazine reporters came to interview him. They often asked such questions as, "Do you think you're God, a god?" I vividly remember how he responded, "No, I'm an upstanding common mortal. Religious leaders who claim they are gods are frauds." Seeing the deep love, respect and reverence that we had for President Toda, the reporters no doubt assumed that he ruled over us with absolute power, brandishing religious authority steeped in mysticism, as was common with other religious leaders. It's hardly possible, however, that vast numbers of people would exert themselves with unstinting devotion under such circumstances. It might be possible to coerce people through the force of authority, but they would certainly never have smiles as happy as those worn by the members of our organization. President Toda's unseen and painstaking efforts to encourage each individual were truly of an unimaginable scale. Day in, day out, to the very end of his life, he devoted long hours to giving personal guidance. He was constantly extending himself to encourage and guide the members in various ways. He wrote letters, he spoke with people on the phone, or he sent someone to give direct encouragement on his behalf. Those who have become happy as a result of receiving guidance from him personally number in the hundreds of thousands. Because we are each directly linked to President Toda, and because we loved and respected him both as a mentor and a human being, we have all dedicated ourselves joyously and energetically of our own free will to Kosenrufu activities. For that very reason, the Soka Gakkai, its members' faces wreathed in cheerful smiles like so many beautiful flowers, has been able to achieve the great development it has. This direct link to the mentor is the Soka Gakkai's strength. You could say that the Soka Gakkai is a community of independence and harmony based on faith linked together by each person's human bond with President Toda. Making no effort to discern the true nature of our organization. However, the reporters see Mr. Toda simply as a charismatic leader whose single command was enough to move the entire organization. There is also one section of the mass media that deliberately promotes this false perception to sow a negative image of the Soka Gakkai in the public's mind. Despite these schemes and distorted views, President Toda declared that he was an upstanding ordinary human being. In doing so, he was laying down a challenge to the mysticism and authoritarianism so prevalent in religion. In his actions also lies the essence of the Daishonin's humanistic Buddhism. Shinichi wanted to refute the misguided criticism directed towards his mentor and the Soka Gakkai. That brings us to the end of today's reading. I hope you have an amazing day.